We're coming back to Matthew chapter 20, and we're looking at this parable of the penny a day, a penny a day for those who work in the vineyard. I don't think there is any employer or businessman in the world who would ever allow people to show up at the 11th hour and they still get the full wage for the day. There is an absolute paradox in this parable because it's teaching us that it's all about grace. It's all about not salvation by works. In fact, I warn you, this parable is not at all about salvation by works. It is about rewards of grace, God's gracious rewards to every one of his people. Now, I mentioned this morning that this parable is really the result of Peter's question, "What shall we have, therefore?" And you'll notice that chapter 20 begins with the word "for." The chapter break is a bit of a hindrance here, and it's a direct link right to the statement that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And so you have these workers who showed up at dusk. They came for the full day's work at sunup, and they labored all the day. They went through the hard toil, the sweat, and imagine at noonday when they sat down for lunch hour. They must have been groaning already from the toil and the labor of the day. And then they got back to it. And about mid-afternoon, there were others who came on board, and they had a discussion about their wages, I'm sure. But then what really was the problem, those who showed up at the 11th hour, at the end of the day, when the heat was gone, when much of the work was already done, and you have these other previously idle people showing up, and when the wages are being given out at the end of the day, the vineyard owner, he started with the latecomers, and they received a penny. And then you have those who came in the afternoon, they received a penny. And then those who were there from the very beginning of the day, they also received a penny. And they were asking questions. They were on the very border of murmuring. So we learn from this that God's grace is abundant to all, and that it's not by our performance, it's not by our works, but it is by the wonderful grace of the Lord that we are rewarded. I have 3 points I want us to look at tonight. Firstly, the master is hiring for his vineyard. And the master will hire all who come. And thirdly, the master gives gracious rewards, a penny, to all who work for any part of the day. This vineyard is a great grand analogy. It is about the kingdom of heaven. Notice how the opening verse starts, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." And so this parable is not about rules for business on earth. It's not about how to rule your house, how to raise your kids and treat them differently and think that you're going to be the best parents in the world. There are many things that this could not apply to, but it is the law of the kingdom. And the kingdom, of course, is the church of the Lord, the sum of all the redeemed and their relations with the Savior, both here in this world and in glory. The first thing we note here is this kingdom is a vast work. The householder could not do all the work alone. There was too much to be done. There was the clearing of the land, the ridding of the stones, the planting of the vines, the watering of those vines, the pruning of them. There was the constant care, then the protection of those plants with a wall or a fence, and all of this work leading to the harvest when the grapes need to be gathered in, when they need to be harvested and stored, and all of that work, it is too much for the householder alone. And the lesson for us is that in the Lord's work, there is work for everybody. It is a work for every one of God's people to be involved and engaged in extending the kingdom. There is a vast world that needs the gospel. There are souls in every quarter that need to know that the Lord Jesus is the Savior of sinners. And the Lord requires many laborers. When you think of the many faithful men and women around this world who have a heart for God and have given themselves to the work of God. And we are challenged tonight that there is room for us in the kingdom work of the Lord. Kingdom work is also noble work. The work in a vineyard to produce the grapes for the harvest is an honorable and an elevating work for anyone who will come into the vineyard. And these barns one day that they might be filled, and of course it will bring honor to the owner, it will honor him and everybody that's involved in that task. There is a high degree of satisfaction. And so as Christians and disciples of the Lord Jesus, we too are called to a noble work. We honor the Lord, we honor the King of Kings, and we promote his kingdom. The work of this world is filled with vanities. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, we learn how everything under the sun is vanity. No matter what it is, even the man that labors hard, acquires much, and when he leaves this world, he leaves it to another man who may be a fool. And he just wastes and squanders it all. Vanity of vanities. And the sum of wisdom is to obey God and serve in his kingdom for his own glory. We also know that the devil would have us to be feeding the swine. When the young son was lured away from the father's home and he went into the far country, wasted his substance, he ended up feeding the swine. And the devil would take many lives and have them just useless and in work that is disgraceful. But we are called to a good work. And if you come to the Lord's church and put your shoulder to the wheel and have a part in the kingdom work of God, then you are doing a noble work, a good work. It's also a necessary work. God's kingdom is in great need of many laborers to get the gospel out. We learned this morning, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach unless he be sent? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And while, yes, we are to live the gospel by our lives, and let our light for the Lord shine, it takes the message, it takes the proclamation of the word to get men and women to face their need of the Savior. Now, preachers are called to preach, but God's people are called to spread that message too. And perhaps the greatest work that you could do in this new year is to invite and to bring along sinners who need to hear the gospel. You might say, well, I wouldn't know how to preach to them. I couldn't even sit down with the Bible and open the book and share with them. I don't see how that opportunity could open up. But an invitation and an exhortation to come and hear the preaching of the Word of God. Now, these workers, this work was a sure work. A sure work in the sense that every one of them received a penny per day. No matter what time they started at, their pay was the same. And if you look at verse 9, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. And you'll see how the first to be paid was the people who came last. The last to be paid were the people who began first. Now, in carnal thinking, it doesn't make sense. But what a wonderful, wonderful truth when it comes to the work of the gospel. Kingdom work is not based on performance. It's not based on great success. It's not based on the achievements that we can read and measure in this world. And grace means that we all get what we never deserved, and none get paid according to their works. When we get to heaven, these rewards will be given out very differently from what we imagine. The youngest may come and serve the Lord for a full reward. The oldest may come and also serve for a full reward. There is no excuse for not entering at any time. And you might look at it in some ways that for you to begin in the work of God, it's like the 11th hour. This church is in Calgary now for what, almost 40 years. This year is the 40th anniversary. The work has been going on two generations already. And for some reason you have held back. For some reason you've stepped back. For some reason you haven't really been on the inner circle of membership and service. Well, here is encouragement for you. No matter if the hour is late, if you are serving the Lord and His kingdom faithfully, you will receive a reward. You shall be blessed for your work. And Christians need to hear the command, go work today in my vineyard. And there is a great opportunity for us. And the Lord has given you in this congregation a very wonderful opportunity. And in a way, with a new minister coming, there is a sense of a new beginning, a sense of a new chapter. And we trust that every one of His people will be fully involved, fully immersed in God's work, and just give yourself to serving the Lord. Then secondly, the master will hire all who come. Now I notice in this parable the word idle. And it comes up in verse 3. It comes up in verse 6. And again in verse 6. Others standing idle in the marketplace. That's verse 3. And then in verse 6. In about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. Why stand ye here all the day idle? Now, I don't intend to draw a pun between I-D-L-E and I-D-O-L. The idol of laziness and the idol of false worship. But they're very linked. This word idle is a bad word. It is a word for someone who is a waster, who is lazy, who is a good for nothing, and they're just whittling away their time and not serving. And of course this is a great allusion to the heathen who offer their worship to false gods, their idolaters. That is like the idol person worshiping an idol, I-D-O-L. And that is the heathen's way. And then there are those who make a god of self, which is another form of idolatry. And their agenda is just to promote themselves. But in the Lord's eyes, they are idle. They're not serving the Lord. They're not using their time and their opportunities and their talents to serve God, but rather to serve self. And then also Satan uses idle hands to do his work. And such sinners are very easily lured into the counsel of the ungodly, to stand in the way of sinners and to sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, what about the idle Christian? What about the person who professes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? They may have some church attachment. They might even take communion. But in reality, if you were to observe their life as far as extending the kingdom, serving the Lord and advancing his cause, they really are idle. And in their lives, there is little real worship. Now, to be worshiping idols, false worship, that is ugly. But to be in the Christian church and to be disengaged from real worship, to sit in your seat, not singing heartily, sit in your seat, sort of shrugging your shoulders and saying, well, this has nothing much to do with me, and you just let it all go by you. That's the picture of the idle person in worship. Then there's little Bible study. When it comes to really digging into God's Word, seeking to advance in knowledge and doctrine and in useful ways to serve the Lord. Now, many people like Bible markers. And why do we need a Bible marker? Because very often we don't remember what we read yesterday. We can't find the place again. And we just wonder how much is sinking in. Now, that can happen to me too, so I'm not browbeating anybody. But you get the picture. We don't really dig into study the Word of the Lord. And maybe this is a good time to begin. It might be the 11th hour for you. What about Bible memorization? That is a tremendous help and way to serve God. Memorizing the Scripture. Older Christians will remember when churches and communities of Christians would have had scripture memorization clubs. And it would be like maybe 10 people getting together and they would challenge one another to memorize the Bible. And maybe once a week they would meet and they would hold each other to account that they spend time memorizing the Bible. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a genius in anything. You can memorize the Bible. And when you get that word dwelling in your heart, it will make you fruitful. Then we would come to prayer. What about prayer? Is it possible that we can be idle when it comes to praying? One of the things that grieves me in my church, and when I think of where they are with God, I have to be honest and say to some of them, or I might make this appeal from my pulpit, there are people here today and I've never heard you pray. I've never heard your voice in a prayer meeting. I've never been in your home where you have been leading in prayer. Now, I make a distinction between men and women in the home. I would expect the man to be giving the leadership in prayer in the home. But when it comes to church prayer meetings, we make no distinction between men and women in prayer. We have that pattern in the book of Acts. We have that pattern in various places of the Bible. We have in Acts 16, where women were wont to pray, gathering together for prayer. Now, it would be a real advance if you would insist that you are going to be a prayer warrior in this year to come. Again, it might be the 11th hour, but God will not hold that against you. God will not say, well, you haven't prayed to me for years. You haven't been involved in the church prayer group for years. Why now? This penny at the 11th hour is your encouragement to begin as a prayer warrior in the life of the Lord's church. How about it? Would it be too much to demand of any professing Christian to once a week, or more if possible, cry out to God in public prayer. Come to the prayer meeting determined, I'm going to participate tonight. I'm not going to let this prayer meeting go by and not participate. I fear there are many times that prayer meetings go by and Christians come and they go defeated. They are defeated because they sense, well, I didn't even get the liberty to pray. And when that happens once, it's bad. When it happens again and again, they live in a sense of defeat. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that discouragement set into your soul. Then, self-denial. Here's another difficult area for every one of us, where we take the lowest seat in the house, where we think of others as better than ourselves, where we become a servant, washing the saints' feet. Now, we don't take that literally, but we take that as the spirit of our service, that we're willing to do the lowest menial task, that we might be a servant to the body of Christ, to the people of God. Self-denial. We must not come to the Lord's house and engage in God's work and say it's all about me and I want these people to serve me. That must never be. Then witnessing. Why stand ye all the day idle? Never witnessing. There are many around us that need the Lord. And the Lord has saved us to be salt. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, it is counted as good for nothing to be cast out and trampled under feet of men. Now, salt that is doing its work has certain properties to purify, to slow down corruption, and to savor. And as a Christian, the Lord has saved us to be salt, to be a purifying influence in this world, to lift up the standard of godliness and holiness, and to speak out against those things that are evil. But the Lord warns, if we lose our saltiness, then we are counted as good for nothing. And there are churches that are set aside today because they have lost their salt. They're abandoned by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not minister in a church where there's no interest in purity, where immorality is encouraged, where the world's agenda is advanced. The Holy Ghost will not be present there. They are to be trampled underfoot. And that happens to churches, it happens to nations, it happens to individuals. When we lose our willingness to be salt for the Lord, then we are treated as idle. And it's a sad thing to see sinners that have no heart for God and will not acknowledge their Creator. I was reminded very recently of a Bible text that used to be hung in my bedroom as a child. I shared a bedroom with my brother for most of my growing up years. He is 3 years older than me, but as boys we shared that room. And on sick days, well, you would spend hour after hour lying there looking at four bare walls. And there was this one text: remember now thy Creator in the day of thy youth. And it had a very old-fashioned frame, and I was looking at some picture or other, and I was reminded of the frame that brought this to my mind. But you know, I had no idea who the Creator was. I must have stared at that picture for endless hours as a boy. But I did not know the Creator. And there are multitudes of people around us. They may know certain things, but they don't know who the Lord is or who the Creator is. They need a Savior. and many are just living in a vacuum. Another generation has grown up that know not the Lord. And we need to be active, serving Him in His kingdom. Now we come to the rewards. The Master gives out gracious rewards. He pays according to grace. Now there was a definite pay hour. At the end of each day, they got their wages for a day. And in the Bible, very often, a penny is the earnings of a day's labor. Now, we can apply this to the longest convert. And if we went around and asked, who has been saved for more years than others? I'm probably getting up there. I was converted in 1974. So that's 46 years it will be in September coming. 46 years. But you know what? I'm no more saved than the newest Christian in this meeting tonight. I am no more justified. I have nothing more of Christ than the newest convert. Because we are all rewarded in the same way. Everything of Christ is the believer's. All His grace, all His perfections, all His righteousness, all the blessings and benefits of the gospel are granted to the newest convert as much as the oldest saint that has been serving the Lord for years. Now, this is encouragement to dedicate your life to the Lord. Now, I will never be an Apostle Paul. And you can say, that's for sure. I will never be like Peter or the other apostles. I will never be like some of the great missionaries who have seen nations changed by the power of the gospel. And I may never be a martyr. I'm not praying for that. I'm not seeking to be a martyr. But I pray that the Lord will bring me home to glory with an abundant entrance into heaven. But my entrance to heaven, however the Lord takes me home, will be equal to that of a martyr. Your day of death and entrance into glory will be as sweet, as bountiful and rich as the greatest Christian who ever walked on this world. You lose nothing by coming late. What encouragement this really is. And even in old age, if there's someone here tonight and you might think, well, I'm getting on, why would the Lord even want me? I've spent most of my life idle, serving self, serving the world. Yet you too will be rewarded if you come and serve the Lord. There is this great equality in God's gospel. And we can rejoice together, the dying thief or the saintly John the Apostle. John was the one that lived the longest, an old man on Isle of Patmos. But the dying thief entered paradise. And of course, so did John. Paul the Apostle highlighted this fact. Would you just turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4 and verse 20. Sorry, Galatians 3, 24. Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't say that all men are the children of God. It is believers. Those who have their faith in Christ are each the child of God. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that word baptized means joined to Christ, in union with Him. have put on Christ. There is that neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. As to salvation, we are all one in Christ Jesus. There's another way of looking at this, and that is, even though we have served the Lord for a long time, what have we to boast in? Who gave you this faith? Who gave you this strength? Who opened the door of opportunity? The Lord. What makes one to differ from another? Nothing. Apart from the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. There's a story of a preacher who was very blessed in his ministry, and he saw many, many souls saved under his preaching. And when he went to heaven, his reward was nothing bigger. But there was a man in his church who actually received a bigger reward when he got to heaven. And the question was asked, Lord, why does this man receive such a reward when I have such a normal size reward? And the answer is, he's the man who sat on the pulpit steps praying while you preached. The reward for the praying man, he never preached, but he labored for God in his way, and he received his reward. And so I trust that this parable will not only encourage you tonight, but thrill you tonight, that here is a golden opportunity for every one of us to serve the Lord, especially as we begin this new year, that although we may be coming in as in the past idle, yet now is the time, now is the hour when we can dedicate ourselves to the Lord. And we get the full reward because we give our hearts, our lives, and our everything to serve the Lord. Let's unite in prayer. We'll ask the Lord to minister to us. Our Father, we thank Thee tonight for the many lessons we learn from this parable. We thank Thee tonight that it is a word in season. For this congregation, as we begin a new year, as they look forward to a new pastor, and with all the promises that are in the book, O God, wilt Thou make Your people a blessing and minister by Your Holy Spirit to each and every heart. We pray, O Lord, that You'll make us men and women of prayer, that we will dedicate ourselves to prayer, and that we will be a praying people in this congregation. I pray, O Lord, that You will help us also to witness. Lay upon our hearts some soul. Give us a person in mind to whom we should witness. Help us to pray. Help us to bring that name to the throne. And then to take the gospel to that soul. O Lord, use Your people in this year to come. And we pray Thy blessing upon every brother, every sister, every soul in this gathering tonight. O Lord, we ask that You will be very gracious. Cause Thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. In the name that is above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Amen.